City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AL. Well, first of all, some coast-to-coast news for you, some happy news. Happy birthday to our senior producer, Tom Danheiser. Hope you're having a great time tonight, Tom. He took the night off. And now our condolences to executive producer Lisa Lyon on the death of her father, Albert. 92 years old, a Navy veteran, a true American hero. We salute you, sir, up there. And thanks for giving us Lisa. Here's what's happening. En route to conquering the European cities of Paris and Rome, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria says they plan to blow up the White House, Big Ben, and the Eiffel Tower. The ISIS spokesperson detailed the terror group's plans to conquer Portugal, Spain, Paris, Rome, and an almost 30-minute audio message to the West, simply saying, "So they kill and are killed," in reference to a Quran verse. More than 45,000 Russian troops, as well as warplanes and submarines, started military exercises across much of the country in one of the Kremlin's biggest shows of force since its ties with the West plunged to Cold War lows. Facebook saying that it will not allow the social network to be used to promote terrorism or hate speech, as it has unveiled a wide-ranging update of its community standards. The new guidelines give more clarity on acceptable posts relating to violence, hate speech, nudity, and other topics. Let's check in with our expert, Lauren Weinstein, on this one. First of all, Lauren, how are they going to govern this, and what do they want to really do?
Well, it appears that what really happened here is that there were really no changes in the policies per se, the actual policies that are supposed to be enforced. But that leaves two questions kind of floating around. One is, how transparent are those policies? In other words, when you make a posting, how well do you understand whether that particular kind of posting is not going to be acceptable under those policies? The other question is, how are those policies enforced? That is, are they equally enforced? Is it kind of random whether or not a particular posting will be seen to be abusive while a very similar one won't be? So what they tried to do with their update was to bring more clarity to what the rules actually are. What this means in terms of enforcement is a really a completely different issue. We don't really know.
No, it's going to be interesting to see how they try to handle this, Lauren, with so many people, billions of people posting things. I mean, who's going to school it?
Well, what usually happens, and this isn't just Facebook, virtually all of the large social media companies have to do this in a similar way. What they largely depend on, you know, usually they'll have automated systems that are looking for certain kinds of things to the extent that they can do it. And they depend a lot on abuse flagging, that is, users themselves who flag a posting as being potentially abusive. And then they all, one way or another, will have actual human beings who have to sit there and look at those postings, some, you know, photos, videos, whatever they are, that are marked as abusive, and try to apply the guidelines themselves. And sometimes they're very, very difficult decisions to make. And frankly, it's not a job that you or I would probably like to have. If you can imagine spending all day long looking at, you know, in a lot of cases, really awful, awful things, and trying to decide, well, is this within the rules? Is this not? It's the sort of thing that could burn you out very rapidly.
Yeah.
So it's important that the rules, you know, to get through that whole process, it's important that the rules at least be clear to start with. And that's something that Facebook is at least ostensibly trying to do now.
Okay, Lauren, thank you so much. Lauren's website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. One of the most absolutely incredible things I've ever seen, tragic as it is. A 5-year-old boy is dead following a horrifying incident in Vietnam. This is what happened to him. He got swept 60 feet into the air by a giant kite. The string wrapped around him, and it was so strong, it just pulled him up into the air, and then he dropped to the ground. The tragic accident was caught on video. People were just simply horrified by that. My God, can you imagine being the parent there? Boston setting an all-time snowfall record, flirting with another mark. Snow, snow, snow. 9 feet in the... It's not even over yet. Let's check in with Robert Felix, who, of course, wrote the book Not by Fire, But by Ice, and Robert claims we're in an ice age. I think you're right, Robert.
It's beginning to look like it. The other thing, George, though, is that some people are feeling like maybe winter's over, but winter is going to come back strong, and that's from meteorologist Joe Bastardi. But he says that Easter could actually be a big ski weekend for the Northeast because winter's going to come roaring back. We're looking at another shot of cold beginning around March 18th, lasting until about April 10th, and that's going to extend down into the Northeast. He figures if he owned a ski area in the Northeast, he'd be advertising like crazy because he thinks it's going to be great skiing over Easter weekend.
I got a lot of family members out in the Boston area, Robert. They were telling me about roofs collapsing. Everything you and I have talked about over the years, it happened this year.
It's happened this year. Well, yeah, you said 9 feet of snow and hundreds of roofs have collapsed in the Northeast. And then, of course, last week we had the icebergs washing ashore on Cape Cod. That's not something that happens every day. And, you know, I think this is what happens when you have the lowest sunspot numbers in more than 100 years.
I think so, too. So, I'll see you in Vancouver, by the way, in June.
I am looking forward to it a lot.
Me, too. We're going to be at Vancouver, British Columbia, full information at my events icon at coasttocoastam.com. A seventh United Kingdom healthcare worker has now been flown back to the U.K. after suspected contact with Ebola. It's not over yet out there. The individual worked in the same facility in Sierra Leone as a U.S. volunteer medic who recently caught that virus. A strain of avian flu that has killed turkeys in the heart of the nation's poultry region has been found through molecular testing to be nearly identical to viruses isolated in migratory ducks, but some wildlife experts are skeptical of the suggestions that the wild birds are responsible for spreading this flu strain that has infected poultry now in Minnesota, Missouri, Arkansas. Boy, they better get this taken care of before Thanksgiving. Up next, we're going to talk about your health for a couple hours and take some very special phone calls. Dr. Joel Wallach, who's part of the CriticalHealthNews.com team with us, you have no idea what he's got for us next on Coast to Coast AM. Do you eat things that you know you shouldn't? Do you exercise as much as you should? Have you promised yourself or a loved one you're going to live a little healthier? Now be honest with yourself. What are you doing about it? You've heard me talking about D-Herb's Full Body Cleanse, and this cleanse is crucial. It's a step towards a healthier you. Flush those toxins out of your body with the D-Herb's Full Body Cleanse today. You're not going to starve yourself, and this is not some crazy drink or concoction. And those of you suffering with diabetes or high blood pressure, well, you definitely need to be doing this. What are you waiting for? Go to dherbs.com now and click on the Get Clean and Lean in 2015 banner to get started. Look better, feel better, and release that excess weight just dragging you down. That's the letter dherbs.com or call 866-4-D-HERBS. Let's do it together, family. Call 866-4-D-HERBS. 866, the number 4, D-HERBS.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Mom, Ben is moving.
I know, honey.
He said because when his dad died, his mom couldn't pay for his house. But she has a job, doesn't she?
Well, she needed her husband's money, too. Just like Daddy and I both have to work so we can live here.
Mom, if something happened to you or Dad, will I have to move?
No, honey. We have life insurance through AIG Direct. So if something happened to one of us, we would have enough to stay right here.
With my friends?
With your friends. Feel better?
Yeah, lots.
Me too.
Helping to protect your family with coverage through AIG Direct is fast, easy, and affordable. You can get $250,000 in coverage for less than $14 a month. Call AIG Direct right now for a free, no-obligation quote. It takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call 1-800-463-6098. That's 1-800-463-6098. 1-800-463-6098.
KSCO, Santa Cruz.
And welcome back to Coast. I can't think of anything more important than your health. Because without it, you can't take care of the people you care about. And everything else falls apart. Dr. Joel Wallach's research has resulted in the publication of more than 70 peer-reviewed and referred journal articles in the fields of nutrition, pharmaceutical research. He's made some huge contributions to multi-authored texts and reference books on all kinds of subjects dealing with health. Author, of course, of Epigenetics, Dead Doctors Don't Die. He's got his own radio show that you can listen to at deaddoctorsradio.com. And he is part of the criticalhealthnews.com team. And he was with me last month, and I was flooded with so many phone calls. We may have busted his website, but he's back to talk with us about health-related matters. And Joel, welcome back. Good to have you back with us.
Well, thank you, George. Always appreciate your hospitality, and your audience are great.
Well, let me tell you, Joel, it is so important for people to stay healthy and, you know, and to educate themselves, which has been your mission for how many years now?
Well, I've been doing it commercially for 36 years, but I started 68 years ago.
Why are so many people reluctant to really take care of themselves? Now, I mean, there are some people who will take care of themselves, and they do a very good job, and they're very disciplined at that. But there are some people who just don't take care of themselves. How come?
Well, first of all, they get a lot of misinformation and bad advice from the medical profession. Medical doctors say, don't supplement, just eat well, get everything you need. Of course, it didn't work too well for Steve Jobs. He died at 56.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happens is there's a certain amount of what I call the Noah complex. People just don't know what they don't know. And I think it would be useful to take classes of kids to the morgue and show them people who have died of simple nutritional deficiencies and say, this is what's going to happen to you if you don't take your supplements.
How old would these kids be that you take to the morgue?
I would say sixth grade.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Yeah.
The healthcare system right now. Yes. It does not contribute to people wanting to take care of themselves, does it?
No, sir. They do not do anything to have you take care of yourself. They want you to be completely attached to them, require them for even breathing. And so as a result, we have a huge failed medical system.
You know, Joel, I want you to give everybody a quick highlight of how you got into this for those who are brand new to the program, because you are a doctor, but you're a veterinary doctor and a darn good one. But you started seeing very strange things with animals and said, why can't people do this? Tell us that story.
Okay. I don't know how far back you want me to go. You want me to go back to when I was four?
Yeah, go back when you were a little guy.
Okay. Well, when I was 4 years old, George, I had facial tics and cramps and grunting like a pig, kind of what we'd call Tourette syndrome today. And it got worse and worse and worse, and 5 years later, by the time I'm nine, I was disabled, and of course, all my friends thought I was possessed as a result. And so, you know, I complained to my mom, and she just got kind of used to me that way, and I said, no, we got to do something. And so she took me to the top eye doctor in St. Louis, a MD medical doctor, eye doctor by the name of Mary Jane Skeffington, very famous eye doctor. And she examined me. She's an MD. She gave me a complete physical exam, and she told my mom, and I was sitting there, she says, well, I can't find anything wrong with him except he's got long eyelashes or hitting his glasses, curling back and tickling his eyeballs. That's the only thing I can think of that's causing his problem. Well, George, I'm only 9 years old, and I knew that wasn't correct. So the next day in school, I went to the library during lunch hour instead of going to the lunchroom, and I looked through a bunch of books, and I found a nurse's handbook on health. And I went through the index. I looked for eyelashes and eyelids, and I couldn't find anything. But I did find, when I was looking through the A's and the B's and the index, when I got down to the C's, it said cramps. And I said, well, maybe it's a kind of a facial cramp. And it said to go to page such and such, and I went there, and it said it's caused by deficiency of the mineral calcium. Well, before the bus would pick me up to take me to school in the morning, I had chores on the farm. One of the things I would do is feed vitamin and mineral-enriched alfalfa pellets to little bull calves we're going to sell in the auction barn. And you'd read the analysis label, and it had protein and vitamins and minerals, including calcium. So that day after school, I ran to the barn and started eating those little vitamin mineral-enriched calf pellets. And the next morning, I threw the Cheerios out to the chickens and filled my bowl with the calf pellets, alfalfa calf pellets enriched with vitamins and minerals. And 3 days' time, George, as God is my witness, in 3 days' time, my Tourette syndrome was gone 100%.
Jeez. I mean, did you luck out, or did you actually know what you were doing?
No, well, I thought, I was very scared because I said, you know, no little kid figures this out himself.
And no.
I thought, you know, is this a God thing, or what's going on here? And so I've always treated this information with respect as a result, because I do believe it was an appointment from God to know this when I was nine. And then I went through high school, of course, and took some ag courses and became an Eagle Scout and took merit badges in soils and livestock and so forth. And then I went to college at the University of Missouri in the agriculture department. I wanted to get a degree and come back and be a scientific farmer. Well, my roommate in the dormitory, he was there to apply to veterinary school. He said, why don't you apply with me? I said, no, I'm going to be a farmer. He said, no, why don't you apply with me? Well, so I went in just on a lark to apply for veterinary school and got accepted. And they said, well, you know, you don't even have to finish your ag school if you don't want to, but I wanted to. And so my last 2 years of ag school at the University of Missouri, my first 2 years of veterinary school, I took together. And so when I graduated ag school, I was already a graduate student and had 2 years left in veterinary school. So I began to take graduate courses in comparative pathology, doing autopsies on animals and people, because I really wanted to know what was going on with this nutrition thing.
Sure.
And about December of 1961, I ran into the first case of a mass die-off in America that anybody recognized. I'm sure it had happened before, but nobody recognized it, and that was the peak of the time when everybody was thinking the Earth was going to end in a week from pollution problems. And So I ran into this mass die-off and did all the chemistries, tracked it down, figured out how it happened, got it published in scientific journals. That's one of my 75 scientific peer-reviewed articles. Very, very proud of that. And I had worked at the summer times at the St. Louis Zoo with Marlon Perkins.
Oh, he was one of the best. Yeah, you do know that, you know, I moved to St. Louis in 79, Joel, and that zoo was one of the best in the country. That and the San Diego Zoo were just tops.
Absolutely. Well, Marlon was a mentor of mine, and because I worked with large animals, he had me do a lot of things with large animals. And so when I got that paper published, I gave him a couple of copies of it just because I had such great respect for him, and he was my mentor. And graduated vet school. I went to Iowa State for a year and taught pathology and worked for the state diagnostic laboratory because I did both animal and human autopsies. And Perkins got me to do a stint at the in South Africa to save the white rhino. There's only 400 white rhino left. They were a dying species, and he wanted me to catch them and bring them back to the United States. I caught 200 of them, sent them back here. So if you see a white rhino in a wild animal park or a zoo, George, these are ones that I caught.
You
or
did
offspring's
that.
The ones
wow.
that I caught. In the
would they be considered albino rhinos?
No, sir.
Not at all.
They're just kind of actually a light gray. They're not really white. But compared to the black rhino, which has a very dark gray skin, they
right.
look white and by comparison. So they called them white rhino, but
okay.
they're not albinos.
Okay.
And so at any rate, 2 years into that, and I was prepared to stay in Africa the rest of my life. I was having the time of my life catching elephants for the African Elephant Conservation Project, catching rhino and just living in the bush and hunting and fishing all the time. Well, 2 years into that, Perkins sends me a letter and says, look, I just got this grant to study pollution in the zoos. To see pollution is a cause of death of zoo animals and a cause of death of people who live in close proximity to the zoo. And since you found the first case of a mass die-off from pollution in America, you're the guy to do the pathology. So how can you refuse Marlon Perkins?
You can't.
I came back. You can't. And so I came back, and for a 10-year period, I did 20,000 autopsies, 10 million chemistries, 10 million slides of special stains, and continue to write, you know, which accumulated those 75 scientific papers. But it generated a book, a 1,200-page book, which is in the Smithsonian Institute as we speak, George. It's considered a national treasure because it documented all these causes of death of 17,000 and some change of over 454 species of zoo animals and 3,000 humans. Enormous amount of paperwork because I had all their clinical records prior to them dying and so forth for both the humans and the animals. And nobody had ever done that before. And it turns out that the bottom line of the study was every animal and every human being who died of natural causes died of a nutritional deficiency disease, not pollution. Well, that just sort of freaked everybody out. And what I was finding was that animals had diseases were thought to be genetically transmitted diseases in humans. I found type 2 diabetes in crocodiles and alligators. So I knew that it wasn't a genetically transmitted disease. How can you find it in an alligator if it's a human genetic disease? I found sickle cell anemia, which is thought to be an African-American black genetic disease, and a bone marrow problem. And I found it in deer and hummingbirds. So how can you have a genetic disease from the African-American community in hummingbirds and deer,
right,
if it's truly a genetic disease in them? And so this was before the word epigenetics. We didn't have the word epigenetics back then. We're talking about the mid-60s. But I knew that there was something wrong with the theory of genetics. And I was only, I was 26 years old at the time. And I knew there was a problem with the genetic theory that genes were autonomous instruments in our body, and they did what they were going to do regardless of what was going on around them. And so I knew there was a problem with that concept. And because of that, they moved me around to zoo to zoo to zoo. I went to Chicago and worked at the Brookfield Zoo.
Oh, you were at all the good ones. My gosh.
Yeah. Lincoln Park Zoo, the Shedd Aquarium. And lastly, in 1977, I was sent to the Yerkes Primate Center at Emory University in Atlanta, and this was the big NASA project with monkeys. They were teaching them to do things in spaceships, and they'd reward them. And I was supposed to do the blood work and biopsy information, also if any of them died, to do autopsies. Well, 3 months into it, it's December, all the guys have been there for years and years counting parasites in the intestines of monkeys and weighing them and taking blood samples. Not very interesting.
It may not be interesting, but I bet it was critically important, Joel.
But it was critically important, and here's why. 3 months into that, I found the first non-human case of cystic fibrosis in one of these monkeys that had died. And I recognized it, and I said, well, it's never been reported in animals before. And so I sent off slides to experts in pathology of cystic fibrosis, a disease thought to be genetically transmitted in humans. And all the experts in their letterhead from big universities all over the world sent me back and said, no, this is a perfect, iconic example of cystic fibrosis. Where did you get the human tissue? And I sent back a letter. We didn't have emails back then or even cell phones.
Right.
This is actually a monkey and not a human. They said, what?
Hold on, Joel. Hold on with that story. We'll be back in a moment. By the way, next hour we'll take phone calls with Dr. Joel Wallach. Maybe he can help you and give you some advice. Website, criticalhealthnews.com. He does have a toll-free number. They will try to help you as much as they can at 1-855-949-7234.
Santa Cruz's own KSCO.
Shirtcrafter, your one-stop print shop, has been locally owned and operated in Santa Cruz for a decade, providing custom design services to help you build your brand. Shirtcrafter provides top-of-the-line custom screen printing, digital printing, embroidery, stickers, banners, business cards, and so much more. They carry top-quality brands of gear from T-shirts and polos to sweatshirts and ball caps. Whether you're outfitting your softball team or team-building for your business, Shirtcrafter has it all. So build your brand with Shirtcrafter, located at 111 Ingalls Street in Santa Cruz, or go to www.shirtcrafter.com. Or you could give them a call at 831-423-0537. That's Shirtcrafter, 831-423-0537.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Costa, host of the Costa Report. I don't know if you feel a little sluggish in the middle of the afternoon like I do, but if you do, I'm going to suggest you try Pollen Burst. It's an orange-flavored energy drink that comes in a packet, and it tastes a lot like that other orange drink the astronauts used to drink. You know the one. Pollen Burst contains vitamins A, B1, B3, B6, B12, pantothenic acid, vitamin D3, and gluconolactone, all designed to give you an energy boost that can last for hours. Pollen Burst comes in a box of 30 packets for $56 or two boxes for $100, and you can order it right now at KSCOteam.com. The next time you feel tired and need a little boost, skip the coffee, soda, or candy bar and mix up a cold glass of Pollen Burst and do your body some real good. Go to KSCOteam.com.
Hi, registered pharmacist Ben Fuchs here. I've been studying healthy bodies for 35 years, and what I've got to tell you may shock and surprise you, but if you listen up, it may change your life. While most folks know that hormones are important, 100 years after they were first discovered, they still remain shrouded in mystery and masked in misunderstandings by MDs and lay people alike. Human bodies have two major classes of hormones. One type is fast-acting and rapidly broken down. These quick-acting hormones have technical names like peptides and eicosanoids, and they dissolve in water. They allow cells to respond to their environment in a speedy fashion, and then they're quickly broken down. In the brain, these hormone chemicals are called neurotransmitters, and they're associated with various moods and brain functions. But when most people talk about hormones and hormone problems, they're usually referring to the second type, a more long-acting fatty hormone substance called steroids. Typically, the so-called male hormone testosterone and the so-called female hormone estrogen. If you're a guy or a gal with a hormone problem and you're referring to testosterone or estrogen, what can you do? Well, probably the most important step that you can take to return these two fat-soluble steroid substances back to their appropriate levels and potency is to pay attention to your intake of fatty foods. Steroid hormones are all derived from cholesterol, which is a major component of fat-dense foods like eggs and dairy and organ meats. And make sure you're absorbing them. That means after you eat your eggs and your dairy and your liver, use digestive enzymes, apple cider vinegar, all of which can improve the body's ability to absorb and utilize their fat and fatty nutrient content. Pharmacist Ben here, urging you to go to KSCOhealth.com to order Beyond Tangy Tangerine, the Healthy Start Pack, and other nutritional supplements that I personally use and recommend. You can purchase these premium quality products at wholesale prices online at KSCOhealth.com. That's KSCOhealth.com. I'm a pharmacist that believes that staying healthy and strong is not only about medicine, it's about giving your body the raw materials it needs to do its work. Go to KSCOhealth.com. Make sure you check out the cool videos, too, at KSCOhealth.com. That's KSCOhealth.com.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried.
Live from the City of Angels. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And we're inviting everybody to become a Coast Insider, a member of the Fun Club. You can do so by going to our website. Right at the top, it says Coast Insider. Just click that and fill out the information. Go to coasttocoastam.com. Do you eat things that you know you shouldn't? Do you exercise as much as you should? Have you promised yourself or a loved one you're going to live a little healthier? Now be honest with yourself. What are you doing about it? You've heard me talking about D-Herb's Full Body Cleanse, and this cleanse is crucial. It's a step towards a healthier you. Flush those toxins out of your body with the D-Herb's Full Body Cleanse today. You're not going to starve yourself, and this is not some crazy drink or concoction. And those of you suffering with diabetes or high blood pressure, well, you definitely need to be doing this.
What are you waiting for? Go to dherbs.com now and click on the Get Clean and Lean in 2015 banner to get started. Look better, feel better, and release that excess weight just dragging you down. That's the letter dherbs.com or call 866-4-D-HERBS. Let's do it together, family. Call 866-4-D-HERBS. 866, the number 4, dherbs.
Who did you let down today? If you're drinking too much or doing too many drugs, you probably let a whole bunch of people down. And I bet you're not sleeping very well either. Well, we can help you at the Detox Hotline. Let us be your recovery concierge. And don't think this is just another treatment ad. I promise you, we are different. We'll put you in a luxury-like getaway where our painless detox process will fix your addiction problem. And in no time at all, you'll get your life and your sleep back. Painless Detox is here, and our recovery concierge service will work with your insurance company to maximize your coverage. We are different. Let us help you break your addiction to drugs and alcohol before it's too late. Take 5 minutes of your time and call right now. I promise it will change your life. 800-885-2600. 800-885-2600. 800-885-2600. That's 800-885-2600.
This is KSCO Radio.
And welcome back to Coast with Dr. Joel Wallach, noted author, of course, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and, of course, criticalhealthnews.com. Joel, so you were talking about how they seemed to be amazed at the tissue samples you had?
Yes, and, of course, so what happened there, George, was these were all experts in pathology, and they thought it was human tissue. When I told them it was an animal, they really got excited. They said, oh, we have a laboratory animal now. I said, well, it's better than that because I tracked it back, and I found 25 age pairs in the colony that these were the same age monkeys that were not related to this monkey in any way blood-wise. And I got permission to do biopsies on their pancreases and livers and lungs and found they all had cystic fibrosis. So I knew it wasn't genetic because none of them were related. It was an environmental problem. So just like it was for these diseases in the zoo animals I was doing autopsies on. So I tracked it back, and they had taken blood samples every month for years, and so I was able to see all the normal blood values until about 3 months before all this happened. Suddenly now the selenium level dropped, and this is what caused the problem. And so I was able to create the disease in laboratory animals and reverse it with supplementation. And the National Institutes of Health asked me to give a presentation in Baltimore, Maryland, which I was excited about, and I did do an abstract, a summary of my presentation that they requested, sent it in to them, and they immediately fired me. They said, Wallach, you must be sniffing glue. You can't say this is environmental. Everybody knows that cystic fibrosis is genetically transmitted. I said, well, that's the belief, but it's not true. I said, now, don't I get to defend my research like a PhD student defends his thesis in front of a committee? You can't just summarily fire me like this for finding the find of the century.
Huh.
And they said, well, no, we're going to fire you. You're done. And
jeez.
So to make a long story short, that's when I went back to school and became a naturopathic physician at the National College of Naturopathic Medicine up in Portland, Oregon. Been licensed in naturopathic medicine in Oregon for 36 years and in California for about 10 years.
What is it, Joel, about supplementation that helps people? Why aren't they getting it in the food or wherever they should get it?
Okay, well, it goes back thousands of years ago. People unknowingly supplemented by putting wood ashes from their wood stoves and fireplaces and fire pits into their gardens. And wood ashes aren't really ashes, George, they're minerals. And for thousands of years, people would take these wood ashes, a.k.a. plant minerals, and put them into their gardens, in the corn and peas and beans and squash and carrots and potatoes and sweet potatoes and onions and okra would suck all these minerals up. People would eat the food, and they got their mineral supplements in that fashion.
And didn't even know it.
They were fertilizing with the ashes or plant minerals, but they didn't know that they were getting them through their food that way. I mean, we're talking about primitive people 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Well, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we know the exact moment. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Monday, September 4th, 1882, it all ended. Because at that moment, on Pearl Street in New York City, on the bluff overlooking the construction of the Brooklyn Bridge, Thomas Edison pulled the switch on the first commercial electric generating plant. Within 10 years, George, Every industrialized nation, every city and town in the industrialized nations around the world had converted from wood as a universal fuel to electricity. And we no longer had access to those minerals. And here comes the doctor saying, oh, just eat well, you get everything you need. Well, you have to appreciate the nutritional minerals do not occur in a uniform blanket around the crust of the earth. They occur in veins like chocolate and chocolate-ripple ice cream. There's some places that have none, some that have small amounts, some have modest amounts, mm-hmm. some have large amounts, some have spectacularly large amounts. And the people who have large amounts of these minerals live a long, healthful life, and people who grow food and eat food in places that have very few of those minerals have a shorter, very sickly life.
Interesting.
And so it was by random chance where you lived, whether you got enough minerals to live a long, healthful life or not. Well, the top 20 longevity cultures on Earth today, as picked by the National Geographic, all have what's called rare earths in their soil. These are special trace minerals called rare earths. There's six of them that actually double the lifespan of laboratory animals. And so this is one of the things that we make sure that's in the supplements with longevity. And, you know, personally, I'm going for 200. I think that's fair enough. That if I
200?
Yes, sir.
That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the average American lives to be 72 right now. So I think we can live to be 200 easily.
Hey, let me ask you a question about that, mm-hmm. because I just had a show on last week. We were talking about some ancients. And, you know, people like Plato, they lived late. They lived until their 80s, yet the life expectancy of most humans then was maybe like 40 or 50. So what was somebody like Plato doing right that all the others weren't?
Well, by a certain amount of dumb luck, he lived in a place where the trees that they used for wood for fuel grew in a place that had more minerals in the soil. And it was mostly dumb luck rather than any conscious thing on his part. And there was a lot of great minds at the time who died young. It's one of those things where the ones who got the most minerals lived the longest. Minerals are the currency of life. They are required for tens of thousands of subcellular chemical reactions. And without these things, you will not meet your genetic potential. And that's what people have to appreciate, George, that we have genetic potential. It's just like your car. When you look at a speedometer, it says it can go 150 miles an hour. But you have to have the right tires, the right fuel. The air filters have to be perfectly clean. Have to have the right drivers, all that kind of stuff. The surface of the track's got to be right to get that 150
That's right.
miles an hour. Otherwise, you're going to go 95, 110. And the same thing is true with our lives.
Well, and if you try to push it to 150, you might blow it up, right? If it's not ready.
You're exactly right. And so the same thing would be true for us. If we push ourselves and we don't have enough nutrients, you die of a heart attack or you die of a stroke or and so forth. And, of course, each of these diseases are caused by deficiency of specific nutrients, and that's sort of the science I developed. And through this big 10-year study with the National Institutes of Health at the Center for the Biology of Natural Systems in St. Louis with Marlon Perkins.
How important is it to go in and, let's say, get an annual blood chemistry check so you know exactly what's going on in your system?
Well, for insurance purposes, I think they require it. But you can do a $2,000 physical yourself for about $4.50. You can go to a pharmacy without a prescription from a doctor, get all the same test strips he'll use for blood tests, urine tests. You can even do the equivalent of a colonoscopic exam with what's called an occult blood test or a FIT test, an acronym for fecal immunochemical test. You can get the same results that your doctor will get from a $2,000 physical for $4.50. And I recommend that people do these things themselves. And then if they find something that's a little murky or doesn't look right or doesn't, you know, the numbers aren't in the right place where they should be, that's the time to get a high-resolution ultrasound. You start a place with no radiation. You go to somebody who won't kill you, like a naturopathic physician as opposed to a medical doctor.
You don't like medical doctors, Joel, do you?
Well, I married one. There's a lot of nice medical doctors. But the system is very, very bad, very dangerous. For instance, let me give you just a couple of quick things.
All right, and then I want to talk with you about Big Pharma.
Okay. Well, this kind of includes them, but this was a full-page story. Full-page story, George, February 5th, 2007 in the USA Today. And again, to make a long story short, and this was all documented by the Institute of Medicine, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the Center for Disease Control, a federal agency. This is where they got the data. They listed where they got the data for this article. And the lead information was, each year, this is a yearly figure, George, each year in America, medical doctors kill, injure, infect 15 million of their customers at the workplace. They don't even get an OSHA ticket.
From what, like over-prescribing and things like that?
Yes, over-prescribing, failed surgeries, infections, for instance, just infections in hospitals. Doctors give patients 2 million infections a year, of which 90,000 die.
How about taking out the wrong kidney, Joel, or cutting off the wrong leg? That happens
all the time. Oh, yeah. It'll take out the normal lung, leave the cancerous one in. That happens all the time.
Oh, my God. How did they make those kind of mistakes?
Well, according to Lucien LePay, who's the head of the Department of Public Health at Harvard Medical School, he did a survey back in the 1990s. He repeated it in February of 2014. And he said that 52%, this is by actual blood tests, that he went around and just told doctors he needed a blood test for a study, and they didn't even object. They gave him his blood. And he found that 52% of licensed medical doctors during their working day are intoxicated on alcohol, street drugs, and prescription drugs. They're so gorked out on drugs and alcohol that they make these horrible mistakes.
Yet, I'm sure there are some medical practitioners out there that are doing a darn good job. Would you agree?
Well, there's some, of course, and I think where they probably do the best is in the emergency room where there's trauma. That's where they do their best in trauma care. And when it comes to chronic diseases, they fail badly because they have all in their brain that it's a genetic thing, and they believe that the genes are autonomous and they're going to do what they're going to do regardless of what's going on around them. And this is the biggest mistake they made. And there's been thousands of failed medical theories every century, and the 20th century and 21st century, George, is no different. And they have made some horrible, horrible mistakes, which literally have killed billions of people in the industrialized world because of medical mistakes.
Let's talk about Big Pharma for a second, Joel. Their job is to sell prescribed medicines. In the old days, wouldn't they almost like bonus doctors who prescribed the most pills? They'd give
them
trips and things like that. I know they're supposed to not, they're not supposed to do that, but are they still doing it?
Well, you know, a camel by any other name is still a camel. And so they don't give them bonuses and kickbacks anymore. They give them speaking engagements where they pay them a stipend.
Honorariums, things like that.
Honorarium, yes. And so it's just a different name for the same thing. And it's one of those terrible things where, for instance, let's just look at cholesterol, something very simple that the
which I'm confused about, I got to tell you, because every other day there's a different story that comes out that says high cholesterol is okay for you. No, it's not. What do you believe?
Okay, well, in 1971, I said that cholesterol was not the problem, and everybody laughed at me. Said, "Well, it can mostly be sniffing glue." Remember, I'm seeing 25 autopsies a day, and 454 species of animals, 3,000 humans, and I'm seeing that cholesterol really isn't the problem. Cholesterol is not what causes thrombotic stroke.
And what is cholesterol? First of all, explain that.
Well, cholesterol is a lipid. It's a form of fat. And it's found in associated with saturated fat. It's found in egg yolks. It's found in steroid hormones like testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, adrenal hormones. And we don't make enough, so we have to consume it every day. And the whole story of making cholesterol the boogeyman goes back to 1901 when a German scientist by the name of Wilhelm Norman was hired by the German Navy to make a lubricant for diesel engines for submarines. And he only had 100 submarines back then to deal with. He wasn't making any money from royalties, so he sold his patent for this lubricant to a soap manufacturer in Britain. They couldn't make enough money, so they sold it to Procter & Gamble. And Procter & Gamble was having a struggle because in the 1920s, people were still making their own soap in America. And they decided they were going to sell this submarine diesel engine lubricant for food. They were going to make it as a lard and butter and cream replacement.
Oh.
There was never any science to show that this food, which they called Crisco.
No, that's what it was?
Yes, it was originally a diesel lubricant for German submarines.
Oh, my mom used to cook with that.
They used to cook in it, yeah.
Everybody did then. Oh, my God.
Here's the kicker. Here's where it took off. There's a guy by the name of Ansel Keys who is on the board of Procter & Gamble, but he was also on the board of a brand-new professional organization called the American Heart Association. And he got Procter & Gamble to give $1.7 million, which is a lot of money back in the 1920s.
It sure is.
To the American Heart Association as a grant in exchange for an endorsement of Crisco as a healthier way to cook rather than butter and cream and lard. And it wasn't very sexy, and even with the endorsement from the American Heart Association, it was a new organization. Nobody, you know, thought they had any credibility, so it didn't help the sales. So Ansel Keys went to Europe, and he created what he called the Seven Countries Diet. And he looked at the food, what people were eating, where they lived long periods of time in Greece and Italy and Spain and Portugal and Malta and France. And he came up with the Seven Countries Diet, and that wasn't very sexy. Didn't sell a can of Crisco, so he called it the Mediterranean diet.
Oh.
The Mediterranean diet, which everybody loves and is thought to be the healthy way to eat, was really nothing more than an ad campaign to sell a lubricant for a diesel engine for submarines as food.
Oh, they tricked us.
They tricked us, exactly. And so they have killed billions of people in the industrialized world since 1914 with this diesel engine lubricant.
Thank God, it's never
been a cholesterol problem.
Most people are waking up to things like that, aren't they?
Well, like I say, I publish articles in international pathology journals over this. I've lectured on it. That's one of the things that made the Dead Doctors Don't Lie audio cassette tape, then the CD and the DVD and the book so outrageous, was I was saying things back in the 70s that cholesterol is not the problem. And everybody else believed it was because they're getting all these kickbacks from the pharmaceutical industry to sell statin drugs. Well, it turns out that by getting people to lower their cholesterol with statin drugs, they created several new diseases. One is Alzheimer's disease. It's a physician-caused disease caused by lowering your cholesterol with statin drugs. It's a man-made disease. It's not genetic. It just didn't happen. It did not exist 44 years ago. Today, it's the number four killer of adults over the age of 65. It also caused low T, erectile dysfunction, menopausal symptoms, and adrenal exhaustion because all these hormones from these glands are steroid hormones. They're all 95% by weight cholesterol. As soon as you start lowering cholesterol and eating egg beaters instead of eggs and margarine instead of butter, no more cholesterol, people got all these new diseases.
That's right. Very
and the pharmaceutical industry just loved it.
Now, what about recommending all these cholesterol-lowering drugs to people?
Well, they've created, again, Alzheimer's disease. And February of 2012, the FDA sent an email to every licensed medical doctor in America and said, stop writing prescriptions for statin drugs. Stop putting your patients on cholesterol-restricted diets. Because if you do, over a five-year period, it'll increase their risk of type 2 diabetes by 52% and Alzheimer's disease by 100%. And not one doctor forwarded that email to any of their patients.
I never saw that email either.
Yeah, well, they never forwarded it. And then 4 months later, in June of 2012, in a Science News, which is a very well-respected scientific chemical journal, they put out a news story that said good cholesterol is not beneficial for you, and that having high levels of good cholesterol, you could even have 100% of your total cholesterol being good cholesterol, is not going to reduce your risk of heart attacks because cholesterol has nothing to do with heart attacks. Well, that was in 2012, and I said it in 1971. Everybody thought I was crazy. And basically, cholesterol is an essential nutrient. It's required. 75% of your brain weight is cholesterol.
Joel, you travel a lot. You're gone 25, 30 days out of a month almost.
That's correct.
What do people, when you talk to groups and people and individuals, what do they want to know the most? What comes up most of the time?
Well, everybody comes there because they have a health challenge or somebody they love has a health challenge. They want to know, what can they do for arthritis? What can they do for high blood pressure? How can they get their loved one off of kidney dialysis? How are they going to get, you know, manage their diabetes better? How are they going to prevent Alzheimer's disease or somebody has Parkinson's disease?
So they come at you with all kinds of things.
Yes. Oh, yes, sir.
Nothing specific, though? There's not one thing that pops up most of the time?
No, sir. It's all these degenerative diseases. They're not too worried about infectious diseases because antibiotics will take care of that. And so all the questions I get, I'm scheduled to have a double knee replacement. I said, well, fire your doctor. Don't do that. We can regrow your cartilage. You take what we call the healthy bone and joint pack, and it has all the stuff in there to support and promote maintenance repair of cartilage, ligaments, tendons. I can regrow your cartilage. Don't get surgery. Don't let them cut your knee.
Surgery should be the last resort.
That's correct. And if they would give me 90 days, 99% of the people who get knee surgery and hip surgery, George, would never have to have the surgery.
Why is it that most elderly people generally will fall, and that begins to become their undoing?
Well, they fall for a variety of reasons, but the main one is they have weak muscles. The muscles are very weak, and they don't have the ability to maintain vertical walking position, it doesn't take much.
No,
They'll turn, they'll step on a shadow, or just misstep, you know, and they'll fall because they don't have enough strength in their hips and their back and their legs. And it's because they don't get enough nutrition to maintain that strength in their hips and their back and their legs.
Do you ever get tired traveling, pushing, trying to get the word out about nutrition?
Sir, in 36 years of doing it, actually being on the road 300 days out of the year on the average, and this year it's going to be, I'm going to do 400 lectures this year, is the way we're scheduled.
God.
Three on Saturdays.
I thought my dozen was a lot.
And no, I never get tired because I take the 90 essential nutrients twice a day. I've been doing it for 68 years.
Never saw a doctor, have you?
I have not seen a doctor in 68 years. The last time, I only saw a doctor twice, once when I was born.
I mean, you don't even go in for a physical? You just take care of yourself?
I do all my own physicals. And in the book, Let's Play Doctor, I teach people how to do their own physicals. Again, I can show them how to go into a pharmacy without a prescription. And for $4.50 worth of these test strips, they'll do a better physical than their doctor will do on them for $2,000.
How often should they do that?
I would say they should do it once every 3 months. And if they get, for instance, they see they're a pre-diabetic, they get on a healthy blood sugar pack, and within a month or two, they're an ex-diabetic.
They get that down. I keep hearing Mike Huckabee talking about how he was pre-diabetic and beat it. Stay with us. Dr. Joel Wallach with us, criticalhealthnews.com. We will come back and take your phone calls. They're ringing like crazy already. If you have a question or an issue, check in with us next.
One of the perks of being a Coast Insider is that you can participate in our twice-monthly live chat sessions or read the transcripts later. George Norrie chats with insiders on the second Tuesday of the month, and a special guest is featured later in the month. Click the Coast Insider link on coasttocoastam.com to get started.
In the streets below, traffic had stopped. Pedestrians were lying on sidewalks and curled up in doorways. There was no sign of violence, no wrecks, nothing like that. It was as if the people in New York had simply decided to stop whatever they were doing and pass out. Ice coated my stomach. The invasion has started. To find out what happens next, read Percy Jackson and the Olympians by Rick Reardon. Explore new worlds and check out more cool books at your local library. And visit read.gov. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Have you noticed that food just doesn't taste good anymore? Why is that? If you eat food, you'll want to know this. Our fruits, grains, and vegetables contain less and less nutrition every year. Chances are even your organic plants don't have anywhere near the 70-plus minerals that make a plant healthy and delicious. Listen up, home gardeners, farmers, growers, and lovers of good food. This is Andy Anderson telling you that you can go beyond organic. Perk up your plants and revitalize your fields with Bloomin' Minerals from Youngevity. This marvelous soil conditioner will remineralize your soil with up to 76 organically bound earth elements. That means healthier and better looking crops that resist bugs, mold, cold, and other nasties that can wipe you out. Commercial farmers are reporting faster growth, more yield, and higher brick scores. That means better tasting food for you and me. Get Bloomin' Minerals in powder and liquid form, from a spray bottle for houseplants to 55-gallon drums for professional growers. Call us now to order toll free, 888-245-0300. That's 888-245-0300.
KSCO, Santa Cruz, KOMY, La Selva Beach, Watsonville.
I'm Jim Shenevy. Incriminating mutterings recorded as parts of an HBO documentary could ultimately play a role in sending New York real estate tycoon Robert Durst to death row. Steve Futterman reports.
The L.A. County District Attorney has now formally charged Robert Durst with first-degree murder, this in connection with the killing of Susan Berman in December 2000. Berman was a close friend and associate of Durst. At the time of her death, Berman was set to meet with New York authorities who were investigating the disappearance of Durst's wife. The murder charge does carry the possibility of the death penalty, but no decision has been made on whether or not it will be sought. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The 20-year-old man arrested in connection with last week's wounding of two police officers in Ferguson, Missouri, denies any involvement.
I do not believe they had the right person in custody.
Gerald Christmas, attorney for Jeffrey Williams.
Mr. Williams is definitely concerned about the health of those police officers. There was never any intention. This was not any type of ambush situation. It's being reported that this was an ambush of the police. That's not the case.
Even the St. Louis County prosecutor now says the police may not have been the targets. Williams also claims he was beaten up by police after his arrest. Marley Hall has the latest from the Boston Marathon bombing trial.
Three Watertown police officers described the final hours of the four-day manhunt. Police officer Joseph Reynolds testified the Tsarnaev brothers fired at him for up to 9 minutes before they threw pipe bombs. Sergeant John McClellan told jurors he feared he would die. The gunfight ended when Jahar Tsarnaev sped off in a stolen black Mercedes. In his haste, he ran over his brother, who had been wounded in a shootout with police.
The jurors also got to see the bullet-riddled boat where Tsarnaev was found hiding and then arrested. Inside were scrawled messages suggesting the bombing was retaliation for U.S. military actions in Muslim countries. Well, the polls opened about an hour ago in Israel's parliamentary election. Final pre-election polls suggested Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu trailing Zionist Union candidate Isaac Herzog.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. Netanyahu has had an uncomfortable relationship with President Obama. On one level, military and intelligence cooperation, that's been going absolutely fine. But Netanyahu has resisted a U.S. push for more concessions toward Palestinians. And recently, the Israeli leader has said a nuclear deal being negotiated with Iran would be dangerous.
The American aid worker being treated for Ebola by the National Institutes of Health in Maryland has now been downgraded from serious to critical condition. He was a volunteer in Sierra Leone. McDonald's workers in 19 states filing complaints about burns from popping grease, claiming a lack of protective equipment and other workplace hazards. It's part of a campaign by labor organizers to unionize fast food workers and push wages to a minimum of $15 an hour. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 228 points. This is CBS News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage, $75 per month level rate for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco can obtain $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110 per month, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rate guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. If you're a smoker, we have great rates available for you as well. At TermBusters, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. If you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call today for a quote at 1-800-569-5440. That's 1-800-569-5440. You're probably paying more than you should. Call TermBusters, 1-800-569-5440, or visit our website at termbusters.net. Remember, 1-800-569-5440. Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting. Exam required to qualify.
The Blues Brothers are back and making records. Bill Whitney reports.
It's been nearly 40 years since we met the Blues Brothers. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Elwood and Jake, a.k.a. Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, first appeared on Saturday Night Live and then made a feature film in 1980. The music died when Belushi suffered a fatal overdose, but now Aykroyd has joined Belushi's widow Judy in launching Blues Brothers Records. The label aims to foster the next generation of blues talent. It will partner with the House of Blues, co-founded by Aykroyd, for promotional events. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Mike Porcaro, bass player for the group Toto, has died at age 59. No cause of death was given, but he'd been battling Lou Gehrig's disease for years. Toto was formed in the late 70s by Porcaro's brothers, Steve and Jeff. He joined the group in the early 80s and left in 2012 due to his declining health. Jeff Porcaro died in 1992. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Take an ordinary putty knife and scrape off the old wax ring. Place the new wax ring over the flange, then line up the bolts with the bowl and gently set in place, making sure a proper seal is created with the flange and drain. Next?
Dad?
Yeah, sweetie.
Is that an old plumbing manual?
Yeah, honey.
We really need to get some new books.
Right, do you want me to stop?
Nah, I kinda wanna know how it ends.
Okay, tighten the bolts, line up the flushing valve to the opening in the top of the bowl, and secure the tank with a screwdriver and crescent wrench.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.